Alrighty, g'day everyone. Welcome to this episode, and today we've got Nick Glavish. Have I pronounced your name right, Nick?
Yeah, bro, Glavish, that's the one.
Glavish, sweet. Cheers for joining us, mate. You're all the way in New Zealand, aren't you?
Yeah, bro, way down here in Papakura, South Auckland, North Island, New Zealand.
Now, we met up on Facebook a while ago. You've been posting a lot of stuff on your own page, and also you've got Talk Group New Zealand hooked up with you as well. Do you want to just go into a little bit about yourself and your story? You've been filming heaps of orbs, crafts. There's footage of you walking underneath the friggin' streetlight where the thing turns off, which is very common for myself and you. You know, there's lots of weird stuff that goes on like that for us. But do you want to give everyone sort of just a quick snapshot about yourself?
Yeah, well, like we were discussing earlier, it's sort of like... with the awakening thing, it was like a polar shift. It was like a polar shift inside my body from one polarity of personality, actions, intent. You know, it was all negative. It was all hard out. I've lived and grown up in like the sort of what we call the ghetto of New Zealand, like my whole life, like one of the roughest parts, involved in all that stuff. And then, I had an experience one night and it just completely emptied me out. But none of the stuff started happening until I fell in love, until I met my current partner, Ramonja. And, she showed me some tenderness, bro, and that's when I started to sort of like stay home and, you know, not drink so much and that. But then one night I had an experience and it was just so intense, that I'd probably like to start with, because that was
the starting point.
Okay, so I had a dream. So what happened was, but before this dream, like a tattoo for a living, you know, so I have all kinds of characters, all walks of life coming through my house, and I actually get on with everybody, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what life from, I sort of have this ability to sort of just, connect and contact with everyone that I come into contact with, you know what I mean? And, you know, they share their stories, and I can give them advice on no matter where they've been. It's like, oh, you know, don't worry about this, and don't worry about that, and this is what's going on. And they're like, man, you're pretty intelligent for a hard-out looking dude, you know? And so this guy comes in, and he goes, he's looking at me, and he goes, oh, your name's not Nick, is it? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, hey, it's me, Jerry. And I said, oh, Jerry goes, bro, from primary school, you know, timeout seat. And me and this guy, Jerry, used to spend all playtime on timeout seat because we're the naughtiest kids in school, you know. And he comes in with his old man and wants to book in for a tattoo, okay. So they do that. And I said, oh, man, I'll catch up with you tomorrow, Nat. And, okay, so that's all good. Go about my day. And then that night I have a dream or an out-of-body experience that a neon-looking symbol. It was actually a craft, like it was in the shape of an Aquarius symbol, but red neon landed in the backyard. And I went out there, and what I could best describe as Thunderbirds came out of it. Little 4.5 foot high looking human beings with the hats, Captain Scarlet hats and the uniforms and all that, little stinky gandy bodies, but look like humans but with big eyes, and they were fucking Thunderbirds. they sat me down and explained the metaphysics of how the human soul gets into the body through light. Coming in through our gravitational field and into the atomic force of the womb. And I woke up and it was fucking intense. And from that point onwards, I was cured of all drug, alcohol, violence, even that, understood pretty much everything about the planet. And that was the start of my journey.
Well, you can understand, like we talked about before the show, how I was once like that as well. And I can totally, there's not many people I can talk to like yourself that I know that experiences hands down, their life is transformed. But when you go from smoking and drinking and whatever and having a different lifestyle, and then something happens where it's not even cold turkey, it just stops. Cold turkey is not even near a word for it, is it?
No, it's more like that was a person that you once were. It's like something's been removed out of your body, not replaced with anything else, but it's just all been removed. It's like ripping a page out of a book. See you later. It's not, you know, there's no withdrawal symptoms. It's not like you ever think about it again. Well, I wouldn't mind doing that again, or, you know, oh, I miss that. Just for a night, I wouldn't mind going off, and you know what I mean? Nah, it's just like you kind of look back and you think, shit, I was an out of it character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not even a cleansing. I wouldn't even call it a cleansing.
It's beyond it's just like, for that.
Yeah, it's like you've got a piece of paper here, piece of paper here, and this is what you were doing, and they've just, you know, your childhood, your crazy teenage years, and all the stuff you're doing, and your enlightened stage, and they've just ripped that out, and it's seamless. And it's almost like a memory, you know what I mean, of, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. And what we were talking about before, too, is how you look back and you know you wouldn't be where you are or things wouldn't happen. Like, you can see how everything's planned. Like, even one thing that I looked at of yours on Facebook was how you were doing these weird, crazy-ass drawings years ago because you're a tattooist. And these drawings, you can tell that you can see the ET, the interdimensional aspect, the metaphysical aspect, the third eye aspect,
yeah,
all this shit, and you're probably wondering what the hell was that.
Yeah, it's
back
in
the
70s,
there,
bro. It's in the 70s. Okay, well, like I was saying, now I look back at myself as a child. Like, I used to carry around a big chip on my shoulder about, okay, you know, I was brought up in kids' homes, I was separated from my family and all that kind of stuff, and I self-sabotaged anything I did for a long time because of these things. But now I look back and I go, man, that's beautiful, you sneaky buggers, you know, I'm onto you, you know, that's why that happened, you know. I just look back and I think, that's what an amazing plan. Of course that had to happen, because, you know, but like, I mean, like, hey, so like, now I'm piecing together and I'm looking back at the path that I showed you, like I said to you, man, like when I'm seeing the, like when I look at these orbs and stuff like that, especially with people and that like that, it's showing them not that they're ETs, but they're trying to show us that we're human beings. It's the complete opposite to what people think. You know what I mean? They're trying to show us the infinite wisdom and power, and, you know, everybody feels that there's something inside them that's not being used.
I'm actually getting energetically smashed right now. This has been happening a lot lately with you guys who I'm talking to. But I'll
Street
tell you fight. What, man.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. But you definitely get it. And before we start the show, you're talking about how this is more about you learning about who you are. And I talk to so many experiences that don't get it until later on that, and each to their own and where they're at, but it really, it leads you to learn about who you are. Not just past lives, the crews that you're working with and all that, but that your unbounded consciousness, all that is and ever will be, it takes you to that aspect of where all that is, where everything,
everything's sitting there, mate. You can just tap into it. It's just like, it's right there, mate. You know what I mean? You can just, you can just being able to show, like, my main thing is, like the telepathic stuff that I receive is, you know, I mean, it's all good. Like, who are they? Where are they from? You know, it's not about that, man. For me, it's about the most powerful thing on the planet is the latest incursion of souls to the planet, which is the youth. That's why all this bullshit music, all this brainwashing stuff, all this, why the technology and not spirituality is being forced on the latest installment of souls on the planet, because they are the strongest link to the source. You know what I mean? And they are the most powerful thing, and that's why they're so focused on, bro. You know, they don't make movies and music for us, people our age. You know, there's no, like, you know what I mean? It's all to do with the kids, man, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, all these movies now they're making about, you know, God's coming from the sky and aliens come down to eat us all and destroy the planet. Man, it's all, you know, fear incursion for the youth, man. Of course they're going to go and see them, and, you know, it's not about people our age, you know. We're still listening to music that we listened to when we were 15, 16, you know what I mean? But that's what they want me to do, is to stop them damaging their body's computer, with all the bullshit stuff that they're eating, drinking, fighting amongst themselves and just following, you know, because the brain has two sides, you know, like information coming in and information, you know, like from above and out, you know, the right hand side of the brain, which is activated by melatonin, that is all information, is all, you know, cosmic information. And the left hand side of the brain is all information that's coming, is worldly, you know what I mean? So you got all this worldly information coming in and not receiving any of this other stuff. You know what I mean? It's just a massive imbalance and that's what the kids are sort of dealing with at this moment in time, mate. You know what I mean? It's all about, of course, it's all about the new set of consciousness coming through, man. You know what I mean? It always has been.
And they want to stop them waking up. If they can stop them waking up, it stops us going to the next phase.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and it's always been about that, you know what I mean? But the stronger it's got, to, you know, because, you know, like, I mean, how does consciousness get to this planet? I mean, the sea of consciousness is out there. How does it get to Earth? Well, through life, through the male-female connection. Because, you know, light comes, you know, from, like, the source, you know, powers the Milky Way. The Milky Way sends it down to our sun. The sun, all the DNA codes that were designed, or the frequencies that are designed for this planet, get sucked into our sun, shone onto the Earth, and light. Light splits into it, the equator, and all the DNA codes are in our environment. And when male and female reconnect, they pull in the frequency of that bang into the atomic force of the amniotic fluid, or the water that's inside the egg, or the water that's inside the insect's egg, or the tree soaking in the water from the Earth. You know, it's all about the interaction between light and water, because that's the only two conduits that create life. So the only way consciousness can get to the planet is through water and light, to create a living being, to use consciousness to explore itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's all made up of energy as well. So, like,
well, there's all energy, right? Yeah, it's all energy.
And then it changes the state to light, and that goes to sound, and then sound goes through down to matter.
It's a symbiotic relationship in between light and water to manifest consciousness into this material realm. You know what I mean? And if you can get hold of that, mate, and control that, mate, you know, you've got a whole planet of slaves on your hands doing whatever you want. But if that, you know, so if you look at on the macroscopic level, you've got the evolution of man walking upright into, you know, to the civilized man, and then you've got the development of the fetus is the same thing, you know. On the microscopic level, a child walking, from a baby crawling, standing up, and then running around, and, you know, it's all to do with, like, the shape of a frequency, you know, trees unraveling, you know, it's like that, you know what I mean? Cellular division is like that, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's, you know, it's all like that. It's all frequency, energy, and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So, and it's everything is aimed at keeping that in control. So as we've developed consciousness on this planet, you know, so this generation, we've got smarter. That's because the information's coming in and passing through the planet, and each generation is getting the stronger and stronger and stronger information that's coming through. It's just timed, you know, and this has been known for millions of years, I guess.
And by these beings, it was going to happen at this time too. It was all planned.
That's because, like, you know, and you know, bro, in the '60s when the Vietnam War was going on, what were they singing? The Age of Aquarius, bro. What's this going to be happening for another 50 years, bro? Like, what the fuck? You know, like, why were they singing that? Because they knew because they're all meditating and doing LSD and all that shit and getting into the Hindi culture and all the. Come on, mate, my voice ain't that bad, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean? But, you know, they understood that all the people that are meditating on mountaintops, all that, we're talking about the Age of Aquarius, or the Golden Age, where consciousness would get a big mean boost and all the wars and all that stuff would stop. You know, I mean, all the hippies were singing that stuff in the 60s. You know, when the Age of Aquarius wasn't happening for another 50 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shouldn't they be singing the Age of... They should have been singing the Age of Pisces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I guess fish wasn't popular.
Well, you know, it's these little telltale signs, and there was a lot of, like, everyone's a starseed when it comes down to it. It's just to break this energy grid and the archonic, or the negative forces, the higher forms of consciousness have had to come in that have excelled in time, and they've come in to help everyone lift themselves back up. So this is where those before us have had it harder, but there was something in the energetic field and the conscious field for them to know about this. So in saying that, you've got a lot of stuff up at the moment. You've got people witnessing this shit with you. So it's not like you're the only person that's seeing this. People are seeing this with you. So we don't need to prove this. And if people want to go and check out some of your stuff, there'll be a link underneath the video where they're all getting the audio version.
Yeah.
And it will take them through to the Facebook page if they're on that to go and see the videos, either on your page or with Talk Group New Zealand. And even Talk Group Australia's got some of your stuff. But from your experience with like the Thunderbird type thing, you've got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh yeah, so you're back to that. Yeah, well, so
like, where did things go after that with that experience? Like, where did things
I got this urge. I didn't want to sleep in bed anymore. I wanted to sleep out in the lounge by myself. So I'm sleeping out in the lounge on the floor, and you know, I'm crouched over all day, you know, like a little hunchback tattooing away. So I like to straighten my back out at night. So I wanted to sleep on the lounge floor, and my partner came in, the lovely woman that she is, and just opened the door to see if I was all right. And hello, there's woman Yoda sitting on the couch.
There was what sitting on the couch?
Yoda. What she could best describe as Yoda. The ears, like 3.5 feet tall, the big eyes, the little nose, Yoda from Return of the Jedi with the ears, sitting on the couch, huddled up, just looking at me. And then she said, baby, and dematerialized.
You know, you're the I've had other people tell me similar stuff, seeing something that looks like Yoda, and...
Well, she's not a big sci-fi fan, you know, but I've told her, you know, babe, you know, watch the Star Wars, mate, this cantina scene, it's the shit that's probably out there, you know, I mean, there's thousands of species in it, and she's just a lovely, you know, she's Maori and Spanish, and she's very spiritual, man, but like nature-minded and all that kind of stuff, like she's my, like, same as you and Soul Reader, is like, you know, as my person who I was supposed to meet. I've given a couple of goes with a couple of other women, mate, but it was just very self-destructive and nasty, you know, and wasn't meant to be. But she doesn't. There's no fear from her or anything like that. She's just like, oh yeah. So you know, like, you know, I say, you know, there's a clip of me. I'm outside filming the ship, and then she comes. You know, I come running inside, and I go, baby, you know, come check this out. And she goes, well, you know, they're out. And she goes, why do I have to come inside? You know, they know we're home. You know, they know that we're here. They know we're at home. So why do I have to come outside and see them? I was like, you ruined everything. And then she's also seen. She came in again another night, and there was like a 6-foot-tall shadow being. She didn't get anything negative from it, but it was just what she described as a shadow that was standing at the mantelpiece looking at a photo of our family, and I put it down and disappeared when she said, hey baby, look. And you know, I just kind of woke up and I put it down and just dematerialized, you know. But yeah, you've probably seen the latest footage of the little orb that appears when I'm giving an interview for Talk, and it like taps me on the head, and there's an energy force field around my hands and that sort of thing. Yeah, a little blue thing in that. But yeah, like, my case is pretty unusual, because any time I want to go out, like for the last year or so, any time I want to go out and do some filming, it'll appear for me. Like last night, my friend took me down to the gym, and I was going, look at this thing, and pointing to this little orange star moving. He goes, oh, that's a plane. And I was saying, oh man, you still don't believe, eh, bro? And he goes, nah, that is a plane, man. I know a plane. I see one. It was, bro, obviously a craft that was like weaving, you know, like through the sky like that. And I went down, because I sit down all day, man. I'm not one of these hard-out gym bunnies, and then I just like to go and do some exercising, because I sit down all day, 14 hours a day, man, you know what I mean? I either walk around the neighborhood, and I'm well-known for that, you know, my whole community knows who I am because I do that, you know. I've learned how to say good morning in heaps of different languages, you know, so I can say, oh, you know, tofu lava or kia ora, and, you know, to try and make some kind of contact with strangers, you know, pass on some energy, you know, always look at people in the traffic and smile and that. And so we see this thing in the sky and that last night, and then we come out of the gym and I go, look, there it is. And it just appears, mate, and it starts hovering around us as soon as we come out of the gym at 11 o'clock at night. He goes, okay, I'll give you that one, buddy. I'll give you that one. But yeah, so this thing, whenever I want to go outside, and I just, you know, I won't go outside for a couple of days, and then I'll just take my little digital camera, go out and have a look. Oh yeah, she's still there, and I won't record, mate. I'll just have a look through it, and just, you know, and it's there. But I like to sort of split off and go back. Sort of now I'm realizing about how I was as a kid, bro. Like, the age of 5, went to a garage sale. I was in boys' homes at this time, went to a garage sale and bought a copy, a record of War of the Worlds. You know, the musical, Jeff Wayne's musical, War of the Worlds. Mate, listened to it over and 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 over, you know, like for the best part of the year. Then at the end of the your primary school year, you know, all the parents come and you do a little play, the 12 days of Christmas, and you know, one guy's this guy, and then all through that, and then you got to give a little, you know, some kids do a little bit of a dance to whatever song's popular at the time, all that. And so I take it upon myself that I'm just going to recite all the narrative parts of War, stand up in front of all the parents at 5 years old, you know, and I'm going to primary school with all the first Polynesian and immigrant workers and their children from the Pacific Islands in the 70s, mate, you know what I mean? So they're not kind of, you know, like I'm pretty much like only white kid in the school sort of thing, and they're all into, you know, fighting and bull rush and all this kind of stuff. So I decided that because I know it off by heart now, so I'm gonna get up in front of the school and recite all the narrative parts to War of the Worlds, you know. So I'm getting up there, and no one would have believed in the past years in the 19th century that human affairs were being watched through the timeless voyage of space, bro. Like at 5 years old, bro. You know, it's like I look back at it now, bro. It's so embarrassing. I'm saying, oh, for fuck's sake, bro. You know, like you know what I mean?
Man,
like, bro,
I've got so many here too,
bro, and all these Maldi and Polynesian kids are like looking at each other, going, mate, you know what I mean? Like, fuck. For fuck's sake, you know, and then I had to go do counselling. I had to go and see the counselling, bro, you know what I mean? Like, for fuck's sake, you know, it's hilarious, eh, bro, you know what I mean? And then I'd sort of go to school fairs and stuff like that, and I'd come across, you know, like when they put out a movie, you'll get like a storybook that comes along with it, you know what I mean? Like, like a collector's issue magazine that comes out with the movie and that, you know. And it was always like I'd go to school fairs and stuff, and I'd come across like Close Encounters of the Third Kind and stuff like that. And like I went to see that movie when I was like 7, mate, and I understand exactly what was going on, how he was receiving telepathic messages about the mountain that he was making with the mashed potato. Like, you know, no 7-year-old's going to comprehend that sort of shit. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're talking to him telepathically. I bet you he ends up at that mountain. You know what I mean? It's like... And then, so I really got into Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and my very first, I moved in with this family who had a digital phone, you know what I mean, you know, the old handset digital phones and that, and my number was 2678160, which was, you know, which was the music from Close Encounters, bro, you know what I mean, which is just absolutely fucking ridiculous, just ridiculous, bro, you know what I mean?
Well, hey, Sorita, I just wanted to say g'day quickly to you as well.
Hey, Sorita, how are you, dude?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Headbutt that.
Oh man, you've got me fucking in hysterics.
When he was laughing,
I know, I tell you, it's like a bad episode of the Muppets around here, I tell you. And then I looked at, like, because I've only just got back in contact with my sister and about a week ago, which is, like, perfect timing, and she was telling me really weird things, like, before we were separated, I was a bit of an escape artist, mate, and I used to sleepwalk, get out the house, and the folks used to catch me standing out on the backyard, mate, staring up at the sky at two, three years old. Wow. By myself in the middle of the night, you know what I mean? Like, just standing there, bro, you know? And I was asking her, oh, was there anything really weird go on? And she goes, do you remember when you were at we used to go to this old lady's place, and she's an old Yugoslav woman, and I ran over to the window, I was sitting down there drawing on, I was like one of these weird kids that was never really good at anything, I just used to lie on the floor, mate, and draw on anything I could get my hands on, but just like spaceships and aliens and, just space-orientated stuff, but extraterrestrial stuff, and I get up off the floor, and she was having a kind of like a tea evening. Someone had died, and she was having like, you know, cucumber sandwiches and cup of tea, and you know how, you know, Europeans, you know, treat death, bro. You know, it's a fucking, you know, let's see who can bust out the best fucking club sandwiches, you know, and fucking and you know, so got all these oldies having the big bake off and stuff, and there's a big open window, and now. My great-grandfather was there, and he died when he was 104. He was an old Yugoslav gum digger. You know, he used to hang out in the bush.
He had a long term, didn't he?
Oh, he didn't want to go. He's had some unfinished business or something. But so, and he's always sitting in his armchair and that. And so I get up off the floor from during these things, and it's about like 9 o'clock at night. And I get up, put my hands on the window, and my sister said a big, huge orange fireball goes past the window and off into the neighbours and just disappears. And like, it was quite a big thing, mate. You know what I mean? It was in the local rag and all that kind of stuff. And it was an unexplained thing. And it was when I got up off the floor and, you know, kind of like, I get these premeditated things. Like, I mean, I know, you know, you've had experiences where the lights turn off and that stuff, bro. But to get a telepathic message of like, hey, get out the iPhone, bro. Watch, the street light's going to turn off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the next thing I can remember was one summer holiday when I was about 6, I was taken from boys' home and then went into downtown Auckland, which is the city centre here, and we're meeting up with some more caregivers. They were taking me up to a farm up in Whangarei, which were some distant relatives of mine called the Tors, and blowing me down if I... mate, straight up remember them saying that, oh, did you hear about the big burnt circle up there? And apparently I was in the back seat, and I can remember them talking about a big circle of dead grass that no cows would go near or anything like that. It wasn't burnt though, it was dead grass. And when I got up there, I can remember lying on the floor listening to them talk about it. You know, and this is when I was 6, so I'm taken from boys' home up to this family where they've had a crop circle up here. You know, like just remembering all these little things, dude, and it's just like, oh, man, you know what I mean?
That's the main thing, like, how you start getting this communication. Like, we had James Gilliland on yesterday, I don't know if you know of him, but up at his ranch in America, like, we'll talk about how, like, even Sol or myself, you'll just know when the crafts are going to appear and you'll get this message, you know, get it camera or look in a certain spot or this is going to happen. And this is where you start to get this dialogue going on. And a lot of people get this all the time in their normal life but have got no friggin' idea what they've got going on in terms of that.
Yes.
With the experiences, but, like, you've got so much going on, whether it was the drawings... this information coming through, doing it relay just the experience for Sol and the audience. You were talking about before the show where you're taking on a craft and basically you were looking at how, like, you're one with the craft, like with the seat, but you was talking about how the body's, like, you're separated from the body, basically seeing the human body computer.
Yeah, well, basically I was out of body, and I believe it was a soul swap or a consciousness swap. We just basically swapped souls basically, and I was hovering above the earth, and I was a humanoid in a suit, in a helmet, which I think is maybe something to do with the atmosphere or something like that, but it's, you know, I don't know what the helmet thing is all about. But and I was sitting next to I was actually a co-pilot, and this being was operating the craft, but we were both in chairs, not as similar to like Prometheus or H.R. Geiger's, the astronomer, you know, with the telescope and that, but we were just in these chairs, but we were part of the chairs, had our hands on, and we were looking at a hologram, and we were talking like, it's going to sound, I'm going to make a crack trying to imitate the sound, but how we were talking was like, like, you know, like that sort of shit, bro. That's pretty much it. And
she could get that, as you were saying that she got that.
Or before, when when I came and sat down, it was like short, sort of, sounding dialogue. And I'm thinking, no, that's like leftover residue from a client I had today, because there was another client I had today that had similar sounds.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Lee, and I told her that I had a dream about me, her, and Mary were talking, but in this language, and she goes, oh, what did it sound like? And I done that to her, and she goes, man, I was just at a contact support group meeting. I think you were there, Pete, and she said they were talking in languages, and his name was Nick, and he was answering me back in that language, something similar. I think, were you there when that was going?
Yeah, man, even I drew some symbols and spoke. Yeah, cracked some symbols, I never do, but I just...
Yeah, and Lee was going, oh, that's so weird, mate, because his name's Nick, and you know what I mean? So, yeah. So, you know, so, and we're talking in this language, and and we're discussing, we're looking at me operating on the planet as a human being, and and we're discussing what I'm doing and stuff like that, and I'm like going, you know, like, which has caused some causes some funny stuff, because I got this thing now with me, when me and my partner are being intimate, and then I kind of whisper in her ear, the star people are watching. And it just kills the mood instantly, eh? You know, it's like, and but yeah, man, it was, and I came back to my body, man. It was just like, I just was so grateful. I just had this ultimate feeling of, man, that was just too wicked, man. You know what I mean? And but like I said, it's, people are looking up at these things, going, well, they're aliens. They're actually showing us that we're a species. We're human beings. You know, and we need to start being human, basically. You know what I mean? It's you know what I mean. Like I read somewhere that the missing link between man and between ape and human being is man. You know, but yeah. And so, like, my first witness that I had was a dude that I started tattooing a long time ago. I can't say his name because he is in the high up in the Australian military. But he's a very, sounds really contradictory, but he's also a real spiritual character as well. You know, he's a Fijian Indian, but he's, you know, goes on missions over in Afghanistan and all that kind of stuff. And last time I tattooed him, I was in the studio, I wasn't at home, and he came to my house and stayed for 3 or 4 days. And we got to talking. Started to give him the rundown of sacred geometry and all this kind of stuff. And he took a real shining to Metatron's cube, which I ended up tattooing on his throat, you know. And just after we finished that tattoo, mate, I go, bro, come with me outside. And if I show you something you've never seen before, I want you to leave the army. And so we go outside, and I get him to lie on the ground in the driveway, and I give him the VR camera. I go, look up, bro. And then he shines the VR camera, and zoop, this orb, you know, appears. You know what I mean? And he just goes, whoa. I've got it all on film, actually, you know. Yeah, and that was like my first proper witness. And but it was just like a what I kind of explain it as, you know, when you like meet up with a girl for the first time, and you know you're out on a date or something, and it's that moment just before you kiss for the first time, and you get that, you know, your magnetic fields of your heart start interacting with each other, and you just get that feeling, man. It's like that. That's the feeling that I get when I'm about to have these experiences, and I know, hey bro, if you want to go outside, we're out there. You know, if you want to come, awesome, for a geese.
Yeah. I know what you mean. You know? Like, so I can tell you, I'm out the kid like a little friggin' 5-year-old going, get your fucking ass out here now, and got the gear, because you just know when to go out.
Yeah. That's like me, you know. And that's like I said, bro. I go to the.
There's something that you should look into as well, to do with like that affecting your heart field, because your heart field's actually magnetic.
But if you Google
heart math, they actually explain that theory scientifically, and they've got like machines that they can hook you up to, and they can actually measure like the convergence of your heart merging with other people's.
Yeah.
But that'd be interesting to hook you up to a machine if, you know, if you're feeling craft coming on, and watch what your heart's actually doing.
Yeah.
Getting crafty on it. I mean, I've also had a message, like when I first, like, because I got all, like, it was hard for me because, you know, first of all, it was the earth has pole shifts and stuff. Well, I call it a micro pole shift, which is just a singular person doing it. So after I had that, before seeing the Thunderbirds, I was getting all telepathic messages with no visual evidence in that, man. So I was like thinking, fuck, should I go and have all my mercury fillings removed? Like, fucking, you know, should I, you know, stay away from microwaves? I was like researching, you know, I was like going, what the fuck is going on? Because it was all stuff I didn't give a shit about, right? Metaphysics and all that kind of stuff. So the first thing to appear, like after the, like even the fact that when the sperm enter the cervix, how do they know to go north? Because they're just like all over the place, mate, like a bowl of spaghetti. How do they know how to go north? Because the egg sends out a frequency and attracts them. Now, this is all science, because I don't talk about stuff that I haven't researched, because if I just, you know, but I know it's going to be right, because who the hell thinks about this stuff at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You know, I'm trying to watch the Flintstones, and I've got all the stuff going on about about, you know, spermosa and cervix and vibrational frequencies. And so that causes the atomic force or the ambionic fluid to form. You know what I mean? Like, this is where you get into the that causes the ambionic fluid. First thing to form in the womb is the heart. There's a tongue that forms, and then that splits into four. I don't know if that's the same where speaking from your heart comes from, but it's like a tongue type thing, like a muscle, and then that splits into four, and then that starts off your vibrational frequency that downloads into the atomic force, the light, to construct, you know, the central nervous system, the brain, and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So it's the heart that downloads you and keeps your frequency in check. When your heart dies, you know, when your heart stops beating, your frequency leaves the body. You know what I mean? That's why Jesus is always pictured pointing at his heart. That's why E.T. in the movie heals with his heart. You know what I mean? It's, you know, and then when Jesus is pictured with a flaming sacred heart, and, you know, in the old days, is because they hadn't discovered electricity yet, and that's the best way they could describe it, was with fire coming out of it. Because it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's your heart. You know, when you're on the operating table and trying to bring you back to life, they don't put it on your temples, you know, and zap you. They put it on your heart because it's electromagnetic. You know what I mean? It's a field. You know, it's basically like a miniature Earth. You know, and that's where you get into, all your atoms of your body are, in the old days they used to show, you know, stuff flying around a central thing, like a miniature solar system, but it's actually not. Each atom is a ball, like a planet, and it's like going whoa, 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 like that. And where these waves change direction, like come in and then go out, that's your reality, that's your belief system, and that's what causes emotion in your body. And it's your heart that's actually forcing your atoms to vibrate in and out and sends the signals to your brain to get emotion to cause your belief systems. So your belief systems is all based on your heart, which is based on the atomic force of the standing, you know, waves of the atoms of your body going in and out. And so where these change direction, like the waves coming in and out, are all the possibilities and beliefs of the universe and what you believe, and, you know, everything that exists is coming in and out. And what you believe is the standing waves where they change direction. That's what creates your reality. If you understand that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You shot, bro, shot. Dora's losing you there for a minute.
We get it.
Yeah, cool, cool.
Looked into. And also,
yeah, I know. Yeah,
your heart has similar, your heart is made up of similar cells to the brain too. So it's interesting linking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thinking with the heart and how the heart can feel and think.
Yeah, well the spermosa is, the spermosa is nothing but cerebral spinal fluid, mate, you know what I mean? And that's why, you know, like sex and violence comes from the same part of the brain, you know what I mean? And that's why it's, you know, they're just, society is strengthening, that's, you know, they're encouraging, you know, all the kids to get this, you know, especially the males, by, you know, promoting the promiscuity of the female, is to get the male to get all the, you know, all the essence, you know, like, you know, they tell a, you know, tell a league player, a boxer, you know, don't have sex before you go out into the field or before you fight, because you're building up what? You're building up your essence, your very who of who you are. So, you know, they want these kids to get this fluid out of their body as much as possible, you know, otherwise they're going to be building up the strength inside themselves, you know what I mean, which is this fluid that they're building up is the exact same stuff as what the brain consists of. You know what I mean? So it's that's the main. Well, these are the types of messages that I've been told that I've got to spread out and focus on the youth, mate. Because like I said, they're the strongest contact to the source. You know, we've already had a bit of a run. You know, we've already had a bit of a run, mate. You know, we're getting on, and you know, we've only got about another 40 odd years or whatever, or however we're going to live to you know, get this message out. But the kids, mate, you know, they're getting the shit, bro. There's many kids waking up.
Yeah.
And they're telling his parents these things, and of course the parents are ignorant about what's going on, and their first thing is to take him to a doctor, and then the doctor's listening to, you know, fuck, imagine if they sent me to a doctor.
I know, well, I've had to deal with doctors, man, and I don't hold back.
I'd have that many pills to take, I'd look like that little hunched over chick from Labyrinth, you know, he's got all the material stuff on the back. Oh, you need your teddy bear, you need, I'd be like that with medication, mate, all over my back, you know, like, it's scary to think about, but... You know, it's the kids that we've got to snap out of it, man, because, like, you know, they are the future, bro. They're the latest souls to come to the planet, dude. You know what I mean? And it's for a reason, you know? I mean, 26,000 years ago, like, you know, our clock, our 24-hour clock and that is based on, time is based on the seasons, which is the precession of the Earth. You know what I mean? Like evolution is based on, or consciousness is based on evolution. Evolution is based on time. Time is based on the come and going of the sun. Come and go of the sun is based on the precession of the Earth, bro. So our 24-hour clock that was invented by Pope Gregory the First is a symbol of the solar sun going around the 12 star constellations. That's why it's always up in town squares and all that kind of stuff and up high, because it's a symbol of, you know, the sun going around the 12 star constellations. You know, 26,000 years, you know, this generation that's, you know, all the people that are alive now are the only ones that have been around in the age of Aquarius for 26,000 years, bro. You know, and what happened 26,000 years ago? Big boost in consciousness, cave art. We started bringing the imagination or thought from the inside of our bodies to the outside of our bodies. You know, or this, not the other beings that are on the planet at the time, but this human body started bringing its consciousness outside of its body, which is now we're in Aquarius now, which is symbol of water, and water magnifies light. You know what I mean? Like Zeus sent a little boy down to, in Greek mythology, Zeus sent down a little boy to show the world love, and he did such a good job, he turned him into a star constellation, Aquarius. You know, El Nino means little boy in Spanish because it's the rainy season, it's all to do with water. You know, water magnifies light. And then you get into...
And it's the carrier of emotion as well.
Yeah, wow. Carrier of emotion. Yeah, yeah, well, love, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And so in regards to that, do you think it's funny that what's the number one threat that we have over the world today that creates a lot of fear is nuclear war? You know, what did they name the first nuclear weapon? Little boy dropped in Hiroshima. You know, coincidence? Come on, bro. You know, it's, you know what I mean? So when you get, you know, like you say, you know, like you keep on saying, Pete, everything is fucking connected. And when you, it's like, oh, you get to the stage where this is just beyond a joke. I mean, how can people not see this thing, man? You know what I mean? So, you know, it's basically, you know, we've gone right round the full circle on the clock, man. We're resetting ourselves in this, you know, this new consciousness coming in from Aquarius, man, is just blitzing everyone, man. And these kids are like walking around confused, man, and like they don't want to pay any attention to any to what's going on in their minds because no one's talking about it, and each individual character thinks they're losing it. You know, I mean, where it's actually not, we're all waking up together, but no one's talking about it, and that's where I sort of come into play because I don't give a shit what people think, mate. You know what I mean? If I can walk into a gang pad and talk some shit, bro, I can certainly fucking post a couple of UFO pictures on Facebook. You know?
We were talking about before the show, just the similar backgrounds and everything too. And it is
you guys
just,
are very similar.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
But getting back to that military...
Yeah, sorry, bro. That's the guy I remember, the other people out there listening.
Yeah, no. Look, with that military bloke, did he end up leaving the military or... He
nah, bro. He's got his own buzz in that, man. But it changed him because he comes inside after that and goes, bro, this is exactly what I seen through my night vision goggles in Afghanistan. I saw a group of five orbs in a line on the horizon, bro. And I tried to tell the rest of the troops about it and stuff like that. And they started talking, you know, started to rubbish me. And then I started to have to, you know, be interrogated. And they were going, oh, maybe you need to see the the military psychiatrist. And he goes, no, I'm sweet. Must have been flares. But he said, I know what I saw, bro. You know what I mean? And that was my sort of first link up. And that was my very first witness. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this happens to other people. And then, like, you know, but now, now pretty much my neighbors are pretty much terrified of me, you know what I mean? Because all I do is try and, you know, like I've got meth addicts living across the road, alcoholics, and they're always brawling in that, man. And I go over in the morning and make sure they're all right and say, you know, if you guys really want some help to get out, you know, bro, you know, like I'm like just a little over 6 foot and 109 kilos or something, and I'm knocking on the door and they've just been domesticating all night and, you know, having domestics and stuff. And they're expecting me to start some shit, and I just go, you know, hey, if you guys really want some help to get off this, I can show you a few things, and you know, try and hug them, and and just, you know, try to really just, because thought is the key to everything, bro. You know, it's it's thought is everything, man. You know, what you're thinking, what's going through your mind is you know, it's not your arms or your legs or your face or anything like, it's not the meat that's operating anything, bro. You know what I mean? It's the consciousness of and your awareness, you know what I mean? Like there's only two rules really that I think apply to me with my experience on this earth, and that's once you leave the source and materialize, you're an individual. Just like snowflakes materialize, bro, every single snowflake, you know, when the temperature drops down and one oxygen hooks up, two hydrogens hooks up with one oxygen, bro, an individual snowflake is formed. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell is that? What's operating that? You know what I mean? Every plant is different, every tree different, bacteria, they all do their own shit. But what's interesting is that everything on the planet's an individual, except for when the life threatened. All fish join together and they all swim away. All zebras run one way, and you know, they all join together when their lives are threatened. And this is what I think human beings have forgotten to do. You know what I mean? Our lives are being threatened with all kind of myriads of nasties on the planet, and we're still kind of like all not joining together, bro, to save ourselves. You know what I mean? So once you materialize from the source, you're an individual. And your experience is only going to be what you're aware of. Doesn't matter whether you're a tender, density, dimensional being flying through space in that urine, or a little kid looking at an ant on a stick, mate. That's what you're aware of is going to be your experience, man. So we need to sort of, you know, show people that there's other things that you can be aware of rather than what you've been fed, you know, you know.
And that's all we can do. We can just make people aware and give them another way. If they want to see another way, that's all we can do. And this is where a lot of people, everyone wants to point the frigging finger when something's going on, but nobody's willing to ask why something's happening, why people are getting high, why people are arguing, why people are in the situation they're in.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's their own shit. Sometimes they're being put in this situation. It's their experience. Yeah. But instead of judging, we should be going, why not? People are doing what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I try to show people around here, man, like no one's bothered to ask them, you know, are you okay? You know, would you like some help? You know, are you interested in finding a different way to cope with life, man? Because, you know, the journey of life now has been taken from us from having a beautiful experience on a beautiful planet of a library of materialized frequencies to a struggle to survive, just to feed yourself and pay the rent in that, man. It's just absolutely ridiculous. You're trying to tell me we're flying through the universe behind the sun, spiraling, going around in a circular motion, 336,000 miles a minute, fuck, to pay tax? You know what I mean? In an infinite sea of energy, bro, to get up in the morning and sit in traffic, bro, come on, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's part of the mission for us, and that is not to get bummed, man, and continue on the mission, not to be bummed out by so many, you know, people who are asleep, man. And I don't judge at all, bro, because, man, we're all just materialized frequencies, bro, just having an experience. And if you've taken in some bad information at a particular time, like that's, you know, even culture is beautiful. American Indian culture, Maori culture, Aboriginal culture is all beautiful stuff, man. But when you really get down to the brass tacks, it's still another way of separating us all out, man. You know what I mean? It's just culture is a particular people at a particular time preserving a particular information in a particular way. And it's all the same shit. You know what I mean? And it's really nice to preserve that information, but all this stuff has got to be put aside if we're going to really get down to the essence of the human being.
Getting back to the oneness with it too, instead of dividing, everything's divided, and that's what's conquered us. Yep. And if we get down those barriers, get over it.
I mean, the thing, and you know what's sad, man, is it all starts off from shamans, you know? Shamans, you know, the ones who, you know, which is, well, I think it's, comes from Indus Mongolia, which means the ones who know, you know what I mean? And they started, you know, they were the ones that gave advice, you know. So I started off with shamans, which turned into tribal elders, which turned into, tribal chiefs, man, which turned into kings and queens, which then turned into religious leaders, which then turned into governments, you know. It's just like, and it all comes down from such a beautiful thing with someone who understood how the universe works, and all that information is being passed on. And then some buggers have just decided, oh, I don't want all the others to know this, and I want to So I want to keep it all to myself and control all you guys and take over the planet sort of thing with the help of some off-worldly beings, man. You know what I mean? It's yeah, bloody really woman tugs at my chin hairs, you know. it's horrible.
It is. In saying that, let's get this up. We've got about 10, 12 minutes to go just with the show, and then we'll talk quickly off air after that. But
yeah, sweet boy.
What would you like to go into in terms of some of the stuff that's been going on lately? Like we talked about, there's the footage of you walking underneath the street lamp and your mate filming that going off. There's been orbs and shit filmed around you. There's been crafts filmed lately with you, with multiple witnesses. You've had some people from the tour group New Zealand go there. What would you like to go into that you find just that's pretty fascinating that people could look at, or what do you want to go into?
Basically, it's like I was saying, is that human beings are silly. They have to see to believe, man. You know what I mean? Like the journey that I'm going on to now is to show the kids and whoever wants to see that. You know, there is the visual evidence is there. You know, I've got magnetic fields around my hands. I'm turning off streetlights and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so that, you know, you will believe the messages that I'm bringing forward. And you are not who you think you are. You are not a bag of information that you've collected. You know, you are more than that. You know what I mean? It's you've got to expand your awareness of who you are on this planet, man. You know what I mean? And that, like I'd like to go into, you know, where does amniotic fluid come from? Well, it comes from the water of the human body. The water of the human body comes from the water that the mother's been drinking. Scientists cannot make water, so all water comes from the earth. Where does light come from? Light comes from the center of the universe. It doesn't come from our sun. The sun shines as a projection that's shining the hologram of our beings onto the earth. But all light, the light that's in my hand here, the light that's going to wake me up tomorrow morning, the light that's going to, you know what I mean, is it going to activate everything in my life, you know, let me see, hear, do all my things, comes from the center of the universe. So if everyone on this planet has his own individual thoughts going on all at the same time, you know, light from the center of the Milky Way takes 100,000 light years to get here, man. So if all thought is individual, how did it know my body is going to be here to accept my thoughts? You know, if that doesn't women twist your giblets, nothing's going to, bro. You know what I mean? Bro, doesn't that just make sense?
Yeah.
We are all one thing because all water from the human body comes from the earth. You know, as simple as that. And all light comes from the center of the universe, and it's these two things coming together, and that's one sentence where it just describes what we are. And how can one lot of water and one lot of light think I'm gonna be better than this because I've got these sneakers on, or I've got these rims, or I'm into this music? And you know, it's all just stuff that's being forced upon you as an influence and just to separate us out, man. You know what I mean? It's just people just really need to think, and if they need someone to show them that, like, there's supernatural things that are out there, you know what I mean? People, I hate the term common sense, man, because what happens if your senses aren't common? You know what I mean? You know? Oh, you like that one, brother? You can use that. I'll give you that one. You can say that. But you know what I mean? Like, what happens if your senses aren't common?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what, you're just only sensing what's around you, bro, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, if senses aren't common, you're a standout, you know? But, I mean, I'm just trying to let people know that, you know, I'm not afraid to show you these things and what's happening to me, because they're letting me do them because humans are silly. We're primitive. We need to see to believe, bro, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? People don't even, majority of people don't realize that light enters the body through the pineal gland, comes out through the eyes, hits atoms, the atoms reflect light back at us, condenses in our eyes, back into light, goes through the brain and creates an image in our mind. So, colour of skin doesn't even exist.
Well, that's exactly right. And now we're scientifically seeing that we can't even see 0.005% of physical friggin' matter.
Yeah, but even the matter that we do see is pre-programmed.
It's all an illusion.
Chinese, Indian, Mexican, Samoan, Islander, Aboriginal, whatever. Bro, they're a frequency that's programmed to be structured in that manner. So when the light comes out of the eyes and reflects back, the image in our mind is created, they're Aboriginal. We're supposed to, bro, when you break it down to the nuts and bolts, all we are is beings that on a planet that are supposed to be hanging out with each other.
Yeah. But no.
To spend time. To evolve the planet's consciousness. Then that's it, man, to evolve the vibration of the planet. You know, and that's it, man. You know, everything is pre-programmed. It's simple, man.
Before we wrap it up, do you want to go into an experience you had lately? We'll talk about the Bigfoot thing, because I reckon this is sort of, this is important as well, just to go into with people about how sometimes when something happens and you're caught off guard, just the way we react with things.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I've been having a few guys in the house, shadow beings, and a few Yodas, and a couple of, you know, really cool. I'll tell you. I'll just go into quickly one. Did you read about the one where I was I swapped two or three consciousnesses, and I was a man from Turkey sitting on a rug in the sun making rope, smoking a hookah pipe with tourists and shit walking past.
I haven't heard that one. I was having an out-of-body experience
like that. Okay, I was a cross-legged, had the big wiry moustache, and that it was me. You know, people walking past and tourists in a marketplace and that. I was on a Persian rug, smoking a hookah pipe, making this big thick rope and all that kind of stuff. And then I was taking a group of people through in Norway through a cabin and snowshoes and all that. But it was like in the 1900s or something. I was on some kind of expedition and all that. And I woke up and I thought, man, that was out of it. And then my missus comes home from her walk and goes, "You last night?" I said, "What?" She goes, "Man, you wouldn't leave my hair alone. You're trying to plait my hair in your sleep." I was like, obviously, you know, making the rope, you know. I was like, but, you know, just the consciousness swaps, man, showing me different things and that. But, yeah, so she comes home from her morning walk, and just as she opens the door to say, "Hey, I'm home," she approaches the bed. I'm coming back to my body, open my eyes, and just in time to see her walk through, like, a big, solid, like, character. But like I said, it was Kiwani's photo of that Bigfoot walking past a fence, the invisible Bigfoot. That's what it was, man.
Which I've seen, I've had a few interactions with a certain Bigfoot that appeared like that. Just so the viewers and listeners know, if you go back a few shows to Kiwani Lapsaritis, and we've had Bigfoot popping in here lately too. We've had two experiences, but I don't know, it's a few shows back. It's the second show I did with Kiwani. If you go and look at that episode about 20 minutes in, there's a photo that I'll put up, which is what Nick's relating to.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, so, and mate, it scared the shit out of me, but because I was like, you know, when you're doing like lucid dreaming and that, or just your pineal gland starts to activate, but your body hasn't shut down, you kind of go boom like that, you know what I mean? It was like that. It was like, I was just coming back into my body. She was walking in the door through this being. I was opening my eyes. It was all on. I was just like, holy shit. It was like, and I was just like, it was all going on. And it was, and that's what I mistook for fear. You know what I mean? But it was just confusion, bro. It was just confusion. And like, you know, like I said, like the stuff, the metaphysic telepathic information I get is all to do with the human body computer, as you put it, and relation to nature and the earth and all that kind of stuff, which is what the Bigfoot and the Yetis and all that go into. And every day is just stranger than the next, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I can go out any day of the time, you know, any day of the night, and just, you know, go up and there's the craft, and you know what I mean? But just the synchronicities that I really get into now, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like I watched that Kiwani one, seen that photo just in enough time to understand so I could talk about that tonight. And so I saw that this morning, and then a customer of mine this afternoon goes, "Oh, if you got some UFO books there, mate?" And I was going, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "Oh, do you get into that stuff though?" And he goes, nah, but my cousin seen a Yeti last week in Aussie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, far out, that's pretty crazy. I was going to say to him, "Oh, do you want to watch this talk on the Bigfoot?" But I thought, nah, he wasn't hooked on enough, bro, you know what I mean? But yeah, just a little synchronicities like that, bro, you know. It's a beautiful thing, bro, you know, once you're aware of it and you got yourself hooked into that stream of knowledge, man, it's just pumps. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's cool fun.
So have you got many people popping around for Sky Watches and that sort of thing, or to just talk to you and all that sort of thing, just see stuff or listen to you? And
yeah, more and more. I think it's still a little, I mean, it's still a little bit early. You know what I mean? People are waking up. I've probably stopped about 30 people from getting on medication who are just really confused, and they're all like started off as clients and that. And you know, I've had people sort of just turn up on the doorstep. I said, "Oh, hey, bro, you know, I heard you know a little bit something about what's going on." I said, "Yeah, come in, bro. Tell me what you're thinking." And now I have to explain, bro, you know, but how do you explain to someone who's into, you know, the league and drifting and, you know, all that kind of stuff? The not primitive stuff, but you know, the sleepy stuff. How do you explain to them, you know, the metaphysics of the universe and how the human brain works? And you know, I mean, it's a big ask, bro. And the trick is almost kind of what, like, you know, the true man prophet Jesus, not this mixture sun worshipy all kind of things that are all rolled into one that's around now, but the actual teachings of the man prophet Jesus was his ability to be able to simplify things down so people, the layman, could understand, bro. And that's the trick, and that's what I'm good at, you know what I mean? It's like you know, if you gave everyone a cell phone, you could give every single living thing on the planet a cell phone, because a cell phone is like, you know, with all the shit that's in the atmosphere, every radio station in every household in the world, every TV, all the TV channels on every TV in the world, all the internet, all the Wi-Fi, all the military stuff, all the CBs, all the sonar, like all that shit is all floating around in the atmosphere. How does your cell phone pull out your 7-digit code to decode your messages on your phone? Because it's a frequency. You know what I mean? Which is a mathematical code. Okay, DNA is a mathematical code. So all the living spectrum is around our planet, and when male meets female, it pulls in that frequency into the atomic force of the womb. It's simple.
So but that's good. If you're talking to the common man about this shit, it's...
Yeah.
And this is what I've said to somebody, like, not somebody, I've said it to a lot of people. If somebody tries to make something complicated, they're full of shit. Because everything, when it comes down to it, is simple. So this is where, if it can be simplified and brought straight to the point, no matter about their preconceived notions, their thinking, if you put it the right way, even if they don't get it, in time they will get it, because they'll sit back, something will happen, or a synchronicity event will happen, something will happen, they go, fuck, I get it.
Yeah, well, bro, truth...
At the worst.
Yeah, that's like, okay, so truth, bro, truth can... How is it that truth can be spoken in every single language? You know, let's just say, for an example, in Africa, a man's being accused by his wife of cheating on him. An African, she can sense that, you know, she's going, you know, and he's going, but she knows, bro, she knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing can happen in Chinese, same thing can happen in Aboriginal, same thing can happen in English, you know, all that kind of stuff, okay? So truth obviously isn't what's coming out of the mouth, because it can be spoken in heaps. What's got to happen is the magnetic field of the heart has got to match what's coming out of your mouth, because your heart is connected to the source, which is truth. So when you're making up fucking lies, right, is that it's coming from the mind, which doesn't match the magnetic field of the heart, which doesn't come out of the mouth. So when this and this is matching, you know, when you're making up something, it's got no magnetic field. It's not, you know, your heart's going, I've been cheating on you, I've been cheating on you, I've been cheating on you. And the mouth's going, I haven't been cheating on you, I haven't been cheating on you, you know, because it's the heart that's speaking, man. You know what I mean? So it's got nothing to do with the reverberations of the thought, you know, what's coming out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Truth is all comes from the source. And what we need to do, man, is truthfully be ourselves. We need to represent truth to the fullest, man. And you got all these little people that are deluded from music and movies and all that stuff talking about keeping it real, mate, and they couldn't be further from it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Keeping it real is not keeping it real.
Yeah.
You know, reality is not real.
No, that's
awesome.
Ta-da! We'll wrap it up there, man. Look.
Yeah, sweet, my bro.
Thank you so much for being on the show, mate. And,
oh, bro.
Yeah,
bro,
I'll have to get you back on sometime.
Yeah, bro, treat for me, bro. Treat for me. Loved it.
Awesome.
My all first, right. Bro. Nice. Bro, I'm gonna go have a bit of a snack, because it's my first Skype and I'm gonna celebrate.
Woo! All right,
my first Skype, bro.
Love you, brother, and take it
okay,
easy.
Okay, wait, yeah, bro, love you guys too. Hey, nice to finally hook up and see your face and match the face to my face and, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, no, all good, man. Yes. Thanks for taking the time, brother.
Yeah, cool.
Bye-bye.
See you.